all of the pandemic started. I've gone back to some studies that I've done on my own, and studies done by Eugene Peterson on the book of Jeremiah. And the Lord has been speaking to me about some things going on in my own life and about the times in which we're in, and it's been very meaningful for me. And so we've been doing this on Wednesday nights as well, and allowing the Lord to speak to us. Right now, what I feel is weary and tired. And I wonder if you feel that way too. You think about everything that we've been through the past 2 months now, 2.5 months. I don't even know how long it's been. But with everything with the virus and the quarantine and now all of the guidelines that we have to follow, and we wonder, you know, who's going to get sick, and we're trying to keep people safe, and all of the changes that have gone on, and the businesses that have been hurting, and it's been a big burden to all of us, and trying to figure out how to do church and to continue to minister to people and keep people connected together in the midst of all of this social distancing. It's also been a real challenge. And then there's so much need in our community as people have lost their jobs, and life goes on. There's illness and there's death, and families are being torn apart, and there's all kinds of things that we deal with on a daily basis here at the church that is just takes the strength out of a person. And then you have the racial tension in our country right now, and this terrible murder that took place in Minneapolis of this man who was in police custody, and now there's all this rioting going on all over the country, and so many hard feelings about all of that. And it just breaks a person's heart and can make us not even want to get up in the morning to face the day. On Monday, an old friend of mine and Kim's that we went to college with, he died suddenly in Los Angeles, and we don't really know all the details of what happened, but he left behind a wife he'd been married to for 27 years, another good friend of ours, had a teenage son. He served faithfully in a church there in Los Angeles, and we're grieving over that. And then problems with my mother, my mother's memory. She's suffering from dementia, and she's having all kinds of issues right now, and I'm tired of all of that. I say all of that to say I'm weary. And there are days when, like you, I'm not sure that I really want to get up and face the day. And in fact, it takes a lot of gumption, a lot of discipline, a lot of strength, or just to force myself to get out of bed and to go about the things that I have to do and to fulfill all the responsibilities that I have. And some days I do it grudgingly. It's almost like a fight. I'm going into battle because it's not something that I necessarily enjoy doing. And right now, I understand it's the accumulation of all the things that we've been facing. Personally, and then in our country, it's all affecting the way that I feel. It's probably affecting you as well. And what we want more than anything else is for the Lord to return. And if He's not going to return, then maybe He can give us a break and make all of this go away. There's already a named storm out in the Gulf of Mexico that's going to be moving north, and we don't know exactly how it's going to be affecting us. And I just take it very personally between me and the Lord that there still has to be hurricane season. I just want Him to make all of that go away and for us to get back to the way life was a few months ago when we had no cares in the world, right? As in America, we live in an instant culture. I think we expect for things to happen, and it may or may not be reasonable, but what I expect is for the Lord to fix everything going on and to do it right away. I've put up with enough. You know, enough is enough. Let's just put things back the way that they are supposed to be. And that seems to fit with pretty much a lot of things in our culture. We want instant results at work, in our relationships, in our families, when we are shopping, when we are dieting and exercising. We want instant results. There's a dangerous assumption that our culture has, and it's that anything worthwhile can be acquired quickly or at once. We want to lose weight. We want to lower our cholesterol and become healthy. All we really want to do is take a pill or drink a drink, and we think everything's going to go back, or everything's going to be the way we want it to be, and it's going to happen quickly. We've been conditioned by our culture to expect instant results, and our attention spans often do not allow for a long follow-through. You know, in the church, it's not terribly difficult to get people interested in a new ministry effort. It is extremely difficult, however, to sustain that interest over a long period of time, especially when the effort can be hard and challenging. Christianity has taken on a tourist mindset. The Christian life is an attractive place to visit when I have adequate leisure time. Or we go somewhere to be a part of the latest thrill, the latest trend. We're in a hurry. We want shortcuts. We are impatient for results. We want God to work in our lives, but to do it quickly, in a way that is efficient and on schedule. We're not really interested so much in comprehending what God is doing over decades, a little bit at a time. I have a tourist mindset. I want to tell the Almighty, look, I have given you 2 days. Can you just give me the highlights? Can we just get to the point here? Jeremiah's life and ministry calls us to a different kind of walk with the Lord. He reminds us that this prophetic life that stands in the gap between God on one side and the times and culture in which we live on the other, a life that can bridge that gap, is a life that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Look with me in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son... I'm sorry. All right. Let's start over. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people of Judah and all those living in Jerusalem, for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have provoked me with what your hands have made. And you have brought harm to yourselves. The key word in that text is the Hebrew word hashkam. It means persistently. Persistently. And in the verses that I read, it translates that word as again and again. Again and again, you did this. Again and again, God did this. Specifically in verse 3, Jeremiah says, I have spoken unto you again and again. Literally, it says, I have spoken unto you rising early and speaking. And in verse 4, it says that the Lord has spoken to you again and again. Literally, it says, and the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. God rose early in the morning and sent the prophets. It's the kind of word that's used to describe the activity of people who got up early before the sun and set out with heavy burdens on long journeys. They were getting a heavy start. They were carrying their load, and they had a long way to go. And they didn't quit. They were persistent in that. They got up early in order to have as many hours as possible to persist in the task that they had to complete, to finish what they had started. In the text, we see three different things that I want to just highlight for you. First, we see that Jeremiah was persistent. He's at the midpoint of his career, and Jeremiah is looking back over what amounts to 23 years of faithful ministry for the Lord. He's faced mockery, he's faced rejection, he's faced abuse, stretches of discouragement, pits of despair, thoughts of quitting. He's argued with the Lord on a number of occasions. And he says that he has persistently proclaimed the word of the Lord to the people. Again and again he did it. He rose early in order to proclaim the word of the Lord. That word hashkem, persistently, has a sunrise in it. Jeremiah is up before the sun to do his work. He's not some reluctant teenager that you have to drag out of bed. For 23 years, Jeremiah got up early and listened to the word of God. For 23 years, Jeremiah got up every morning and then spoke the word of God. Each new day was God's day. And I want you to hear this. Jeremiah did not get up early to face rejection. He got up early to meet with God and to hear and then proclaim the word of the Lord. That is the secret to his long obedience. Not dreading having to face each new day and the long road ahead, but greeting the present moment with obedient delight and expectant hope. He rose not to face the drudgery of the day, but to meet with the Lord, to hear the word of the Lord, and then to have the honor of proclaiming the word of the Lord. Some people spend a lifetime in the same job or in a marriage, and they are diminished as a result of grinding away at it year after year, and we don't admire them for it. They are stuck. Or they are serving their time. They are paying their dues. They can't get out. And they are not fun people to be around. Jeremiah, however, is not in a rut. He is committed to a purpose. He wasn't putting in his time or paying his dues. Each new day was an adventure on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. Each morning was an opportunity to meet with the Lord and to hear and respond to the word of the Lord. So where did Jeremiah learn to live this kind of life? Where did Jeremiah learn his persistence? Well, he learned it from God. In verse 4, we see that God is persistent. God is faithful and persistent in calling the people back to himself. He has not given up on his sinful people. He has not abandoned them. And so Jeremiah says that God literally rose early in the morning and sent the prophets to call the people back into a right relationship with God. It has the idea of being persistent. God persistently sent people to call God's people back into a right relationship. And when Jeremiah got up to meet with the Lord each day, that is what he heard come out of the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah lived persistently because God lived persistently. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." See, God's faithfulness to us is not a dogged repetition of duty. He's not bitter at having to come and face us each new day. He takes delight in it. It has all the surprise, the creativity, and yet all the certainty and regularity of the dawning of a new day. That's God's faithfulness to us. And it's a joy for Him. In Romans 5, verses 3 through 4, Paul says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." Jeremiah was persistent and could develop that character and hope because God was persistent in coming to us, revealing Himself to us, speaking His word into our lives, and bringing about what is best for us in the long run. The third thing we see in the text, unfortunately, is that God's people failed at persistence. The people in the kingdom of Judah, specifically where Jeremiah ministered, they were not persistent at all. So contrast Jeremiah's commitment to the Lord with the people of Judah's commitment. They were full of ideas. They had exciting new beginnings. They were following every new trend, but they were accomplishing nothing. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, this is how God spoke to His people. He says, "How can you say, 'I am not defiled,' or that 'I have not run after the Baals'? See how you have behaved in the valley? Consider what you have done. You are a swift she-camel running here and there, a wild donkey accustomed to the desert, sniffing the wind in her craving. In her heat, who can restrain her? Any males that pursue her need not tire themselves. At mating time, they will find her. Do not run until your feet are bare and your throat is dry. But you said, 'It's no use. I love foreign gods, and I must go after them.'" What God is telling His people there is that they are dominated by appetite and impulse. He's saying that your lives are empty of commitment, purpose, and continuity. You're blown here and there by the waves of your passions and impulses and appetites, and it's destroying you. When you want things, you want them now. You are dealing with a feeling of incompleteness and you rush to fill it up with whatever you think is going to scratch that itch that is deep down inside of you. The more you get, the more empty you feel because you cannot get what you are looking for by fulfilling your inmost desires. You are filling yourself with all the wrong things, what God is saying. Your heart longs for something deeper. In the New Testament, Jesus calls His followers into a life of complete surrender, telling them to take up their cross and to follow after Him, to live His kind of life. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, He says, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." And often what we hear from American Christians is that what Jesus is asking is too hard. So we're going to rush off here and there looking for something else that might satisfy our longing other than living the kind of life that God has called us to live. There must be something easier, something faster, something more convenient than bearing my cross each day and following Jesus over a long period of time. So what was the failure of God's people according to the text? Well, it says in verses 3 through 4, basically, you've not listened. They've not listened to the word of the Lord. The clue to our erratic life patterns, the clue to our inconsistency, the clue to our unfaithfulness and our inability to distinguish between shallow commitments and real faith, the clue is that we've not embraced hashkem, that persistence. That persistently rising early to listen to God. A life that fails to persistently rise early to listen to the Lord will seek to fill itself with all kinds of other things apart from God. In verses 6 through 7, the text says that God pursues us, but we fail to listen. As a result, we fill our lives with idols, with what we can do, with things our hands have made. And God says that we just bring harm to ourselves. And it's as if we're saying to God, hey, I can't rise early to listen to you every day, so instead I'm going to go to this retreat and I'm going to expect you to speak to me in 2 days. Or I have a hard time listening to your word, and so I'm just going to listen to Christian music while I'm in the car, hoping that it sets in and that will be enough. Well, you get the idea. We pursue Christian experience instead of pursuing Christ. These things have become idols to us because they take the place of a persistent time that we need to spend in the presence of the Lord. There is no shortcut to replace a daily habit of rising early to be in the presence of the Lord over the course of a lifetime. We want to live lives like Jeremiah. We want to be intimate with the Lord and relevant to our culture. Hashkem, or that persistence, is the key to living that kind of life. The antidote to our give-it-to-me-now culture is that hashkem, that persistence, that rising early, day after day. What this culture needs from us right now is to meet disciples and pilgrims, not tourists, but disciples and pilgrims. We have to be disciples. Disciples are people who spend their lives apprenticed to their master, Jesus Christ. Disciples are not about acquiring information, but they're about Christ. They're not about acquiring skills in the faith, but Christ-likeness. And pilgrims, we are a people who are on our way someplace else. We are going to God, and the path that we follow is the very path of Christ Himself, the way to the cross, where we die to ourselves, and we are made new in the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus. I wonder, how persistent are you in your discipleship? How persistent are you in your pilgrimage? Are you taking up your cross daily to follow Jesus Christ? Is the landscape of your life littered with one trendy Christian experience after another? Have you created idols for yourself that you thought would satisfy the longing of your hearts and be easier than rising early each day to bear your cross and follow Jesus? Listen to me, beloved. Nothing is going to satisfy the longing of your heart like Jesus Christ. That thing that you long for, that thing that you're missing, that thing that you can't seem to discover by pursuing all the ways and things that this world has, the thing that you most want and need is Jesus. What you're looking for is Jesus. What you need to do is follow Him this day, and then the next day, and then the next day, until you meet the Lord face to face, whenever that may be. Let's pray together. Lord, I pause now just to acknowledge that individually we are experiencing a lot of turmoil in our lives as a result of a lot of different things. And in this country, we are experiencing a lot of turmoil having to do with the pandemic and the economy and politics and race relationships and violence across the country. And Lord, there is a lot of passion, and there is the desire for things just to stop and to look familiar and normal and comforting again. And Lord, I know in my own mind that there is no such thing as a quick fix. Instead, you're taking us on a journey. And so, Lord, I ask that you would perfect within me the quality of hashkem, or persistence, where I would daily rise to meet with you. Lord, save me from my own tendency to face each new day as a grind and instead help me to rise eagerly to be with you, to hear your word, and to respond to it. And Lord, I pray that you would touch the lives of all of those who were listening and watching tonight. Speak the truth into their lives about their own idols, their own emptiness, their own vain pursuits that have amounted to nothing. Speak to them about their short attention spans and how quick they are to give up and to give out and give in. And develop within them that quality of persistence, day after day, walking with you. Convince them, Lord, that it will be worth it over time. We ask, Lord, that you would bring healing to our land, that you would calm nerves, hurt feelings, and that you would guide us, Lord, into a future where what happened in Minneapolis will never happen again. Show us how to accomplish that and bring this country together as only you can. Lord, we pray for hurricane season, and as there's already activity in the Gulf, Lord, anxiety may be on the rise. We ask that you would calm us down. Remind us that you are present and help us now to prepare for whatever may be coming. Lord, we trust you. We turn our eyes to you. We have nowhere else to go. You are what we need. And so we come to you now. May your will be done. And we love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.